This is Time and Other Thieves. My name's Sarah B., and yes, I'm back less than a month later after announcing in the last episode that I would no longer be producing this podcast on a monthly basis. In that episode, I also said that a result of no longer putting that monthly expectation on myself might be, paradoxically, that I make episodes more often. When I hold myself to a monthly schedule, it's easy to postpone writing about a given learning experience. I'll do that at the end of the month, I think. And then I often don't end up writing about that thing. But now that I can just make episodes whenever, I'm more inclined to do so when the inspiration strikes. And that's what I'm doing now. And this particular inspiration has been so potent, I feel I must write about it and talk about it as a way of getting it out of my system, lest it drive me crazy. I'm talking about feng shui, believe it or not, the ancient Chinese art of placement, also called Chinese geomancy, and I've heard it called acupuncture for your home. In a similar metaphor, I've come to think of yoga as feng shui for my body. I've had it on the back burner of things to learn more about for a few years now, and a recent visit to my mother's house, which she was rearranging in various ways, moving furniture from this room to that, finally got me Googling in earnest, which eventually got me checking feng shui books out from the Lester Library. Because why read websites when you can read a book? Now, 2 weeks later, I have read all three of those books, one of which was probably more pictures than words, and I have a fourth on hold for me. I find the subject incredibly stimulating. Feng shui is mystical and creative and weird and silly. It is deeply superstitious, or at least sounds that way to most Westerners. It's rooted in the I Ching, which I've talked about on this show before, and Taoism, and its primary objective is to optimize and balance out the flow of qi, or cosmic energy, through a room, a house, a garden, a tomb, an office building, a city, even a mountain range. Some of its foundations go back more than 3,500 years, but I'm not going to do a deep dive into its history. I'm just going to share what stood out to me in reading about feng shui. Two words, by the way, that mean wind and water, and tell you what I think about it. Ready? It's kind of a lot. Okay, houses facing south are ideal, while those facing north are the least ideal. Mine faces west, but has a lot of southern exposure. Houses at the end of a dead-end road are the least ideal because too much qi comes rushing at them at once. Mine is at the end of a dead-end road, but the driveway is oriented to the house in such a way that I think it's okay. For the same reason, you don't want any sort of walkway leading to your front door to be straight. It should gently curve so the qi approaches at a more manageable pace. Your front door, and all doors, should be clean and in good repair. Same goes for the windows. If painted, there shouldn't be any paint chipping off your doors or any other such shabbiness. Guilty as charged. I have now cleaned my doors and plan on sprucing them up with a fresh coat of paint soon. I thought about getting a brand new front door, one that didn't have any sort of window in it because that's bad feng shui, and painting it red. But then I learned that the color that corresponds with the west, the direction my house faces, is white, and my door is already white, and I already have white paint, and I'd rather not buy a new door, so having one with a window will just have to be okay. I probably just need to use my porch lights more as a cure. When you enter the front door of a house, the space directly inside should not be cramped and dark, but bright and airy. Welcoming. My house meets this criteria as the front door opens into the living room. Other entrance criteria include no mirrors facing you right when you walk in. They might startle your guests and or scare away the qi. No bathrooms visible from the entrance. If one is, you should hang a mirror on the outside of the bathroom door, thereby making it disappear. Nor should the kitchen be visible from the front door, and nor should the back door. If it's a straight shot from the front door to the back door with no walls in between, then the qi will just rush right out of the house as soon as it enters. I seem to recall that one remedy to this layout is to hang wind chimes. Along with mirrors and wind chimes, other common cures for bad feng shui are plants, fish tanks, and little flutes. My living room meets feng shui criteria in that the couch is not facing away from the door. The guideline is whoever is sitting on the couch should be able to see whenever someone enters the room. Ideally, none of the living room couches or chairs should face away from the entrance to the room, but especially not wherever the primary occupants of the house usually sit. My husband and I both sit in places that face the front door, but Whitman's chair is positioned such that his back is to the garage door. I on the couch, where Whitman sometimes sits too and where we both sit every night to watch a show, am in the commanding position, with full visibility of both doors and a good amount of distance from them. Feng Shui also recommends this commanding position for beds and desks. When lying on a bed, you don't want your feet pointing straight at the door in what's called the coffin position. You also don't want a mirror on a wall directly facing the foot of the bed, because when your spirit rises in the middle of the night while you're sleeping, it might be startled by its own reflection. And you don't want any heavy beams hanging over your bed or a slanted ceiling, as both would push down on the chi. Bunk beds are no good for this reason, too, at least the bottom bunk. Furthermore, you're supposed to sleep with your head to the north and your feet to the south, and you don't want your headboard against a window because, one, you never want to cover a window with furniture. I don't need feng shui to tell me that. And two, your headboard would be unsupported and unprotected by a window. It should be against a wall, but only the headboard. You don't want any of the bed's other three sides against the wall. Whitman and I are breaking this rule in our guest room by having the bed in the corner, with access on only two sides. I've racked my brain for how we might change it, but I can't find a way that will please both me and Whitman, especially with having an exercise bike in there, which breaks another rule. You shouldn't have exercise equipment in the bedroom. Bedrooms are meant for sleeping and for sex. That's it. They should be very yin or feminine, with dark furniture and cool colors like blue and purple. Feng Shui also advises against having books in the bedroom because they are too stimulating. Their very presence emits energizing chi. Same goes for plants. I've read that one plant in the bedroom is okay, and I've read that you shouldn't have any. For rooms requiring more yang, like the dining room, we don't want a sluggish digestive tract after all, or sleepy dinner parties. The kitchen and the office, think yellows, reds, and oranges. Indeed, paintings or photos of oranges come highly recommended in feng shui dining rooms. Peaches are good too. And you want to have a mirror in your dining room so it reflects the food and the people dining, thereby symbolically doubling your good fortune and company. Big, dark furniture has no place in the dining room, and really the only furniture it should contain is the table and its chairs, preferably six of them, and a sideboard for serving food from, maybe a couple floor lamps. People should be able to move easily around any portion of the table, never having to squeeze through narrow openings. Circular tables are ideal. That rule applies to coffee tables too, which are more likely, if square or rectangular, to send poison arrows from their sharp corners, which are likely pointing at someone in the room. A cure for poison arrows that come from the corners of bookcases, something we have a lot of in our house. Actually, as I write this, I'm noticing multiple sharp corners of different pieces of furniture pointing right at me. A cure is to put plants in front of them, or on top of them if they have long vines that hang down, covering the sharp edges from top to bottom. Plants are also useful because they provide the wood element, and feng shui cares a lot about the five elements: wood, water, fire, earth, and metal. It also cares a lot about the cardinal directions. I already mentioned that west corresponds to the color white, as well as gold and silver. It's also associated with the metal element. The color for south is red, with its element being fire. For the east, it's green, and the wood element, and for the north, it's blue, also black, and the element is water. The earth element is associated with the center of the compass, or, I suppose, the center of one's house, and the main color for it is yellow. Earth also corresponds to the northeast and southwest. Aside from the general rules about cardinal directions, like the southwest corner of your house corresponding to romance and marriage, and the southeast to financial wealth, to name just two examples. Every individual has their own best and worst directions, based on something called a Kua number. Maybe it's pronounced Kwa. My number is 6, and my best directions are west, southwest, northeast, and northwest. That means I should try to face in those directions. For instance, when sitting on the couch, at my desk, or at the dinner table, as much as possible. And of course, each direction corresponds to a certain life realm. For me, the west corresponds to great prosperity, the southwest to relationships and family, the northeast to health, and the northwest to mild good fortune. The other categories for the remaining directions are accidents and frustrations, mischief and quarrels, bad fortune, and least fortune. My least fortunate direction is the north, which I face a lot, as that's the direction my couch faces. But when I'm doing therapy sessions in my home office, I face west, my best direction. So that's good. And speaking of offices, you want your desk in a commanding position, just like your couch or main living room seat and your bed. Not only do you want to see the door from your desk, you want to see the whole room. We actually have 2 desks in our home office, a sitting one and a standing one, the latter of which Whitman had custom made for me in 2010 based on my height. The seated desk faces a wall with the office door directly to my right, maybe 6 feet away. It's a little close for comfort according to feng shui standards, but at least my back isn't to it, which is the case when I use my standing desk, so I'm going to hang a mirror on that wall, which will allow me to see the door. The commanding position rule also applies to kitchens. While you're stirring soup and chopping vegetables and the like, you should not have your back to the kitchen door or main entrance. Also, your stove should not be next to or directly opposite your sink. Green is an ideal color for kitchens. Mine is pale grayish purple, so I will try to incorporate more artwork with green in it. The Chinese often hang a picture of their kitchen god over the stove. I thought about getting one, but it really is very Chinese, and I gotta draw the line somewhere with all this cultural appropriation. Instead, I decided to buy a print of the Buddha, Tibetan style, to put on the side of the refrigerator, which is usually at my back, so I'll feel like it's protecting me. And above the stove, a space we've been debating what to do with for the past year or so, ever since getting rid of our microwave, we're going to hang a legit dinner bell. And finally, a word about bathrooms. They should be sparse and tidy, because clutter or too much busyness will energize the toilet, and you don't want that. You also don't want a mirror placed in such a way that it reflects the toilet, because then you symbolically have 2 toilets, and toilets in and of themselves are not good feng shui. Water represents money, so it's bad to constantly be flushing that down the drain, not to mention mixing it with pee and poop. Always keep the lid down, and always keep the bathroom door closed, whether you're in it or not. If your bedroom shares a wall with the bathroom, don't put your bed against that wall if you can help it. And make sure your drains are working properly and that they're always covered when not in use. The ideal color scheme for a bathroom is something in the pastel family. I was relieved to read this because shortly before researching feng shui, Whitman and I painted our bathroom a pale seafoam color. There's more I could say about all this stuff. It's very involved and can get quite complicated, but I'll stop there. You've probably gathered that it would be impossible to check all the feng shui boxes unless maybe you get to choose the location of your house and the direction it faces and how all the rooms are laid out. But you do what you can. That is, if you want to. If it all sounds like a bunch of malarkey to you, and I haven't even scratched the surface of why the various rules exist. I mean, what the rationale behind them is. Maybe it's numerology or astrology or the deep respect the Chinese have for homonyms. Then certainly don't trouble yourself. I just think it's fun. It's also easy to obsess over and get a little crazy about. The past couple weeks I have found myself almost constantly scrutinizing my house, wishing we could get rid of at least 3 pieces of furniture, the bookcase in the dining room, a too large table in the guest room, and even my custom-made stand-up desk. wishing our dinner table were circular instead of rectangular, but none of those things are going to happen, so I must content myself with smaller changes. I went to Flora, for instance, in West Asheville and bought a houseplant for the living room. Whitman has some plants in the guest room on the aforementioned too large table because it's south-facing and gets good light, but I bought one, a ficus, that doesn't need a ton of light, and I bought a nice pot for it that perfectly matches the living room rug. I tied some red yarn around both of the living room curtains, which we usually just push to the side and let hang loosely. Red is the most auspicious color in feng shui, and it's yang, and overall our house could use more yang elements. I did the same thing to the curtains in the dining room, and I actually ordered, on Etsy, a watercolor painting of oranges, and I plan on hanging a mirror in there too. And I ordered an orange table runner to further yangify that space. Furthermore, since my kitchen faces north instead of south, the ideal direction for kitchens, I hung a wind chime from a blue piece of yarn, as blue is the color of the north, in front of the window, because that is supposed to help somehow. I'm going to move the little silver camping table that's currently on our south-facing balcony to our west-facing front porch, since silver corresponds to the west, and the little wooden table that's currently on our front porch, I'm going to paint red and move to the balcony, since red corresponds to the south. To have more of the water element in my house, and since I have no interest in owning a fish tank and think a little fountain would annoy me, the sound of it, and the fact that it would likely need electricity, I'm thinking about getting a brass Orly bowl and floating some flowers or candles in it. Lastly, for now, in order to face my best direction, west, more often, I'm going to spend some more time on my front porch, especially in the mornings when it's cooler out there. I imagine this arrangement will be good for the porch, too, as it's bad feng shui to have a space that's hardly ever used. It's occurred to me that feng shui is a means of feeling like I'm doing something right. Most of us worry, at least sometimes, that we're doing life wrong, and it's a comfort to know that we're checking certain boxes, even if those boxes originated in an entirely other culture and might not really make a big difference. I mean, I think I will enjoy having a watercolor print of oranges in my dining room, but will it really increase the amount of food or money that comes into the house? Who knows? If some part of me believes that it will, then I'll be putting that positive energy out there, and that certainly can't hurt. In one of the books I read, the authors cite a Chinese saying about the forces that play a role in shaping our lives. Quote, first comes destiny, second is luck, third, feng shui, fourth, philanthropy, and fifth, education. Destiny, luck, feng shui, philanthropy, and education. I love everything about the order of that list. Education is last, and feng shui comes in at a respectable third place, right after luck. And feng shui seems to me a way of influencing one's luck. It's also a way to inhabit our space with more intention. While learning about feng shui has caused me to be more critical of my home's interior, and a little of its exterior too, it has also felt like a way to love my home more. To love it in the action sense of the word. I want to bring out the best in it, so it can in turn bring out the best in me and in all who enter it. It provides a system for taking care of my environment, for really having a relationship with it. And Lord knows we need more of that in this world. It's a lot of work maintaining a home and doing it well. And feng shui helps me to not rush through my various household tasks as they arise. I mean, so much of my time is spent putting stuff away, back where it belongs. Making sure, essentially, that everything is in its place. Approaching such tasks with feng shui in mind, with the intention of optimizing and balancing qi, I am able to be more present with them. And interact with them as a part of life that is no less important than any other, as an experience that should not be rushed through or taken for granted. Folding clothes and putting them in drawers becomes a sacred act, as does dusting, which I seem to be constantly doing. And dusting is very important in feng shui because dust hangs on to negative qi, or Shaw. Speaking of which, I should really go dust the top of my kitchen cabinets. I was just changing a light bulb, standing on a chair, and saw that it's downright furry up there. Makes me wish I had a dustbuster. Thanks for listening to Time and Other Thieves. I hope you enjoyed learning about feng shui based on what I've been able to retain from my reading. If you'd like to learn more, I recommend the book Feng Shui, The Chinese Art of Placement by Sarah Rossbach. Perhaps you'll find, as I have, that it reinforces what William Carlos Williams once wrote in a poem, which I've quoted on this show before. No ideas, but in things. I'm Sarah B., and I'll see ya when I see ya.